This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and COVID-19 has increased the spotlight on environmental issues. On the one hand, planes are grounded and people are primarily staying indoors, so that is good for the environment. But on the other hand, the use of disposable wipes, masks, and even gloves has skyrocketed. People are ordering food in, which means, again, more disposable material. So how can we be more aware of our actual individual effect on the environment and our contribution to climate change? On the line with me, I have Josie Stoker, who is the co-founder of Capture, a fast-growing climate technology company.
So I'm Josie Stoker, co-founder and CEO of Capture. So actually for the last 7 years, I've been living and working in Asia, although I'm originally from the UK, as you can tell. I actually also spent some time living in Malaysia, which I loved. In my role before working with Capture, or what helped me get started with it, is I was working with indigenous communities around the world, so communities in Mongolia, Kenya, Kalimantan. And what I found was that a lot of these communities were being affected by climate change now. So when I was a kid and when I was studying, in school about climate change, I don't know about your listeners, but I always felt as if it was, okay, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in the future. And what I found was that, by working with communities who are living very close to nature, changes are already happening, droughts, forest fires, floods, extreme weather, all of these things are happening more often. And it's happening now. So that sort of sparked my interest in climate change. I started to look at the impact that my actions were having and realized that it's pretty hard as an individual to navigate this space. A lot of us want to do better, but it can be difficult to know, where to start, what impact one person can have. So that's inspired me to launch Capture. And we actually started in Singapore last year. So I met my co-founder Aziz on an incubator program, the Antler program in Singapore. And Capture is an app that helps people to track their CO2 emissions from travel and food. We also work with businesses as well.
Tell me a little bit about how Capture works exactly. It's been dubbed the Fitbit for your carbon footprint. It's a GPS-based app that allows users to sort of track their CO2 emissions. But how does that actually work?
So actually, when it comes to your carbon footprint, the more data you're able to share with somebody or a tool, the better that tool is able to predict what your carbon emissions are. So for example, if you think about all the actions that you do throughout the day, turning the lights on or having your air conditioning cooler, taking a car, buying some food, purchasing a flight ticket, all of these actions have an impact on the environment through the CO2 emissions released. What we wanted to do is to set about creating a tool where people didn't have to manually enter in all of these decisions. Now, so what we did is we started with what was, at the end of last year, one of the biggest elements of your carbon footprint, and that was travel. Obviously, things changed dramatically this year, which will be great to discuss further in a second. But yeah, so we started off looking at how could we track emissions automatically from travel. And my co-founder Aziz created an algorithm that was able to look at how people are moving and then predict, was that a bus, a train, a car journey, walking, cycling, etc., so that our users don't have to enter in manually. Okay, I took the train, and then I took a car, and then I walked for a little, of course, where there's no emissions. So that's how the app works in terms of tracking emissions from travel. So it's a GPS-based algorithm. The app looks at how individuals are moving and then predicts journey mode, how long they spend in that journey mode. We wipe the GPS points from our servers every 24 hours. Obviously, we don't share any data. We only gather data that would be useful for projecting your carbon footprints, and nothing, we don't even ask for gender, age, or things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's how the app works. So you've got that tracking element, but obviously then the question, that we get from people is like, am I doing good? Like, what should I be aiming for? Is this a lot or a little? So what we've done is we've created personalized targets for all of our users. Now, these targets are based on the fact that between now and 2030, we need to decrease emissions by 7.6%. And that's everyone around the world. So governments, industries, individuals, and the lot all need to decrease emissions by 7.6%. So what we do is we ask a couple of questions to get your baseline carbon footprint, and then we minus 7.6% from wherever you're starting from today. And then we give that to you in a monthly target that fills up automatically. And alongside that, we also have a learning section, and there's a little bit there if you want to offset your carbon footprint too. And then when we work with organizations, we bring all of their employees together onto a community area where we help them get involved with planet-friendly commitments and challenges all together as well.
Wow. Yeah. You answered kind of a lot of the questions that I initially had, especially in terms of the data and kind of the privacy issues that would arise from GPS tracking and stuff like that. But you kind of already covered that. So my next question for you, Capture is backed by a couple of pretty high profile angel investors, including Steve Melewish, founder of Property Guru, and Luke Jones, who is the co-founder of 1880. Tell me a little bit about that and the process of procuring investment to start Capture.
So we raised our initial investment in kind of two stages. So the pre-seed investment right at the beginning, when it was just Aziz and I, and we pretty much just had the idea in a couple months of basic testing. That investment was from our incubator Antler. So they put in sort of the initial check, which would keep, you know, two people going for maybe, I don't know, 6 to 12 months, kind of depending on what, you know, and where you are in the world and stuff like that. So that was the initial funds put forward. Then, you know, everything that's happened this year, I think like a lot of founders, we've had to kind of adjust what we were doing and just, you know, kind of adapt to the situation. So actually, and the reason I ended up in the UK is because in March, I was going to leave Asia to travel over to the US to take part in a demo day in the US and then go and, you know, aim to raise some money from US investors. The day before my flight was supposed to go out, the borders closed to the US, and that's how I ended up. That's how I ended up in the UK. So yeah, we had to change our fundraising strategy pretty quickly. And obviously, this was the time when, you know, COVID was just getting started. So we decided, instead of going to a big VC, you know, still pretty early on, we would go to angel investors, because, you know, obviously angel investors, in many cases, if you can find high quality people, which we were very lucky to find, you know, they help you a tremendous amount with advice, you know, connections, and you know, in many cases they've been through it themselves. So we were really lucky to find some angel investors, and then they've also allowed us the flexibility this year to try different things, to experiment with different sectors. Capture started out as a B2C app where we would make income by taking a transaction fee on carbon offsets purchased through the app, and by the end of this year we've ended up a B2B SaaS company with a product-led growth approach through our B2C app. So it's been fantastic to have investors that have really believed in us and allowed us the flexibility to try out different things, you know, during this crazy year. We wouldn't have necessarily got that with a VC, even though they would have come in at the early stage. You know, you can never be sure. So that was a little bit about sort of our fundraising to date. And then we're planning our seed raise early January next year, now that we've had our first corporate clients get started. And, you know, we've had some more time to figure out, you know, what we want to be and, you know, and where the opportunities lie.
Right. Just clarify a little bit for me about that that mention of generating income from carbon offset purchases.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Yes. So individuals within the Capture app, and they're still able to do so, can go in and subscribe to offset their carbon footprint. Now, I'm sure a couple of people have heard of carbon offsetting before. It can be a bit of a confusing concept, but to explain. So carbon offsetting is the concept whereby you pollute one ton of CO2 emissions. Let's say you take a flight from, I don't know, like KL to Japan, and you emit, you know, 1.5 tons or something like that. What you can then do is basically pay somebody else to decrease CO2 emissions by 1.5 tons. So to basically match your emissions. Now, there are different ways that you can offset or match your emissions. One way is by investing in projects that prevent CO2 from being released in the first place. So, for example, fuel-efficient cooking stoves. Let's say you buy somebody a fuel-efficient cooking stove in Malawi, and that allows them to use less wood, which means that fewer trees are chopped down, you know, you're able to prevent CO2 from being emitted. And then you can say, right, well, you know, 10 cooking stoves, you know, over the period we equal 1 ton of CO2 decrease. Therefore, my flight is now carbon neutral, which again is a term that we're hearing more and more about. That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is to go forth and like plant trees or conserve, you know, areas of a really precious rainforest that are absorbing a lot of CO2. So there are different projects you can choose from. So here at Capture, we have a choice of three different offsetting projects. We've got two that are verified by Gold Standard and one that's verified by an American startup called Pachama. That's P-A-C-H-A-M-A. They use satellite imaging to monitor the health of forests. We've got the project with them in North America. We've got a tree planting project in Panama. We also have a renewable energy project in Taiwan. So we allow our users a choice of the different types of projects in different places. They can then subscribe to auto offset. So remember that we're tracking CO2 emissions from travel. So if you have a month where you're not traveling so much, you wouldn't offset as much. If you have a month where you're traveling more, you would offset more. So you've got that option, or you can offset, you know, the same amount every month. It's completely up to you. So on those offsets, Capture then charges a 10% transaction fee. That's about the transaction fee that like an NGO or a charity would charge to process, you know, payments and incoming funds. So that's how we sort of, you know, arrived at that number. So that's how we make our money from you know, individual users. But as I say, that's more like a legacy thing that we've kept going from the beginning of this year. You know, we still have it on there because we still have users that are happy to offset through the app. But the majority of our income we make from working with our organization. So it's a little bit like the approach, you know, like Slack and Dropbox and Calendly have, you know, they have a product that they make free available to the public. It's kind of like a basic version of what they do. And then they have an enhanced version for enterprise that they charge for. So that's broadly how we do it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break for some messages right now. But when we come back, I will continue speaking to Josie Stoker, co-founder and CEO of Capture, about how Capture has been affected, of course, by COVID-19. So do stay tuned to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business on BFM. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me is Josie Stoker. She is the CEO and co-founder of Capture, which is a climate technology company/app. Before the break, we were talking about her catalyst in becoming invested in the fight against climate change, as well as how Capture works, as well as the revenue streams from the app. But talk to me a little bit about Capture for Teams. I think you alluded to it earlier, which is your sort of you're leaning more towards B2B elements with Capture at the moment.
So here at Capture for Teams, we provide a way for an organization to build and engage a planet-friendly workforce and or track CO2 emissions from corporate travel. So let's say, for example, you're an organization that's being, you know, pulled and pushed towards sustainability from all different angles. Maybe your investors care, maybe your customers care, maybe the government's putting more pressure on you as a business to be more sustainable. Maybe your employees are starting to ask, you know, a lot more questions as well. So by using Capture for Teams, this allows you to take care of one of the pieces of the puzzle that is sustainability as an organization by helping your employees to get more involved in different sustainability initiatives together via the Capture app. So we have a Teams area for organizations that's secure for employees. Their employees join, they can take part in planet-friendly commitments. And we're also able to track total CO2 emissions from travel. So let's say you're in the services business or consulting business and a large percentage of your emissions come from employee travel. You'll be able to live track what those emissions are, not on a per employee basis, but from a total staff basis through Capture for Teams.
Okay, that's really interesting. And I think also it's a massive win that more and more employees are also becoming more invested in making sure that the company does support sustainable causes and fight against climate change as well. Now, I think a pretty obvious thing that I think I have to ask is COVID-19. You, especially for you, as you mentioned earlier, you are currently stuck in the UK because of it, because your trip to the US was sort of cut short due to the closing of international borders. But you also happen to have an international team. So tell me a little bit about how the pandemic has affected not just the work that you do, but also how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I think in a way, you know, when everybody's working online, it kind of levels a playing field. So let's say, you know, when it comes to having in-person customer meetings, let's see how long this one lasts. But let's say, for example, you know, we were pitching for some work in the US. Previously, we would be, you know, as a remote team, we would be competing with teams that are going into the office, meeting folks in person, you know, they're going out for coffee or drinks or whatever it is, and we would have a real disadvantage. But now, with everybody doing everything online, it really leveled the playing field for teams to build relationships with potential customers, investors, employees, whoever it is, remotely. And that's been really helpful for us. So it's allowed us to bring clients on that are in Singapore without us being in Singapore physically, clients that are in that are in Europe, have amazing conversations with people in the US as well. So that's been really helpful. And as a team, we've managed pretty well to work remotely. Like, I have daily catch-ups with my co-founder. You know, like, we have the same slot every day where we, you know, jump on a call and have catch-ups. And the team, you know, we work really well over Slack and things like that. We always have like a little Monday weekend photo sharing session. So yeah, we've managed fine, you know, in terms of a team, and luckily everyone's been fine. You know, everyone's families have been okay, and no one's been too affected, other than, you know, the inconvenience of staying at home. You know, so from a health perspective, everyone's been fine.
Mm. And from my understanding as well, your team is still relatively small, even though you have grown. Mm-hmm. I believe you have 8 people currently involved with Capture. Do you think that having a smaller team than other companies has sort of been, in a kind of bizarre way, a bit of an advantage for you as a leader during the pandemic?
Well, it certainly allowed us to stay lean. And I think we've got quite lucky in the stage of our growth. I know a lot of startups who, really kind of went forth and spent a lot and grew quite fast, because, I mean, who would have expected this happen this year, have struggled. But because I think we got quite lucky in terms of our stages and the stage that COVID hit, we've been able to stay lean and stay focused throughout this year.
Okay. Now, I do want to ask you a couple of questions about also how the pandemic has impacted climate change, because this is another thing that we sort of alluded to earlier, is the fact that obviously not many people are flying anymore, for example, and your primary thing with Capture is tracking people's CO2 emissions via travel. So tell me a little bit about that and your sort of take on the impact that the pandemic has had on climate change.
Absolutely, yes. There's so much going on here, and there are so many different angles that you can look at it from. It's really fascinating. But I mean, starting first of all from like a CO2 emission. So, for your listeners, joining in, obviously one of the most important things that we need to do is decrease greenhouse gas emissions as quickly as possible over the next 10 years. CO2 is sort of the main culprit there when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, and it's the one that people tend to focus on, or they'll equate the other gases into CO2. So that's why everyone talks about CO2 so much. And in terms of CO2 emissions this year, in the first 6 months of this year, they were 8.8% less than in the same period in 2019. So we haven't seen a decline in CO2 emissions like this, like not even in World War II, not even in the financial crisis of 2008 or the oil crisis in the late 70s. So it's absolutely unprecedented in terms of what's happened. But on the other hand, I know there'll be some people listening and saying, well, hang on a minute. You know, the Earth came to a standstill. Like, you know, who else has seen the photo of like the dolphins swimming around the canals in Venice? I mean, like everyone, we kind of thought like, well, the one good thing is coming out of this is that the environment's had a chance. And you're telling me that it's only been 8.8% less than it was this time last year. So yeah, I mean, like, you can take the positives and the negatives from this. You know, as I mentioned earlier on in the call, you know, what we need to do is be able to decrease emissions by 7.6% year on year between now and 2030 to meet the 1.5 degree warming target. So you can look at that and say, well, you know, at least for the first half of this year, we did pretty well. Obviously, it remains to be seen what happens throughout the second part of this year. And I think that then brings me on to the next question of how are we going to grow again? You know, what are governments going to choose to spend their money on when it comes to rebuilding our economies? Are we going to choose to spend money on coal power plants, or are we going to choose to spend money on building back with renewables? We have like a couple of big choices, and this is a great opportunity to say, you know what, like, we can grow our economies by investing in renewables and in green energy. So yeah, there are a number of things going on. I think, you know, as you mentioned very rightly in the beginning, when it comes to sort of health and single-use plastic, you know, I'm sure we have seen a big increase in you know, single-use plastic as people kind of, you know, grapple with and adjust to living, you know, life amongst the pandemic. So, yeah, and I think in many cases, you know, it's been important, and people have done what they can when it comes to plastic. But hopefully there's sort of this kind of increasing global consciousness to do something about it. But I would say, you can take all the plastic out of the ocean and climate change is still going to be a problem. You know, so it's not as easy to remove CO2 from the atmosphere as it is to pick plastic up off our beaches. And I'm not belittling the plastic problem, but the concern is, I guess, throughout this year is that some of the attention has been taken away from the fact that, you know, COVID is, you know, a little walk in the park, you know, compared to what we're going to be faced with, you know, through climate change related sea level rises and increases in, you know, hurricanes and wildfires and the lot, over the next, you know, over the next 10 to 20 years. So yeah, it's a really complicated one. But yes, there are definitely positives, and then there are definitely, I guess, some questions that are still to be answered. But I mean, throughout this year, we've still seen some amazing, you know, announcements from big countries. I mean, China included, coming out to make, you know, strong claims for carbon neutrality, which is great. Obviously, we've had the U.S. elections, and a new president has been elected that will help the U.S. rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, which is, you know, great from a planet perspective. So yes, a mixed bag overall, I would say.
Okay. And final question for you, Josie. What can we expect to see from Capture in the future? What do you guys have planned?
We're building out in kind of two different ways. So there's first of all, there are the improvements that we're going to be making to the app for individuals. So as I mentioned, right now it helps individuals to track emissions from travel. We added emission tracking from food. So it's fairly straightforward, but it's simple. If you usually eat vegetarian day, that'll start coming up as a daily entry within the app alongside your journeys, and you can edit that. If you usually eat high meat, that'll come up and you can edit that. So we'll be building out more features within the app just to make the experience, you know, a bit more enjoyable, also more accurate for our users. Because right now, for example, we show car journeys, but let's say you're taking a trip in an electric vehicle. We've had a lot of requests from people wanting to, you know, to be able to have that taken into consideration when they're tracking. So there's improvements on the tracking side. So we hope to be making that soon. And then we've also got improvements on the Capture for Teams side of things. So right now, if a business wanted to work with Capture, we'd just be able to create, you know, one community for all of their employees to join. Obviously, in the future, we want to be able to do things to make it a more gamified experience, to have different teams compete against one another, and then to build that side of it out more. So we're also growing our team as well. So definitely keep an eye on us. Hopefully we're one to watch. But yeah, we should have a pretty exciting 2021 ahead of us.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you so much, Josie, for having this conversation with me today about Capture.
Thank you. It was my absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I've been speaking to Josie Stoker, co-founder and CEO of Capture, which is a fast-growing climate technology company. I'm Christine Wong. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app available on the Apple App Store and Google Play, as well as head over to bfm.my/podcasts. You can also catch up on our podcasts anywhere that you get them, including Spotify. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.